and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, May the 2nd. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness today. Brothers and sisters, we are going to take a look. Usually, I say we're going to take a look at the readings for this coming weekend, plural. But we are not going to look at more than one reading. We are simply going to look at one. And we are going to hear the gospel story for two reasons. One, it's a little bit longer gospel. It's going to be out of John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. So it's a fairly lengthy gospel. But the second reason is, and for those who have been longtime listeners, you already know this, but this is one of my favorite gospel readings. It's one you're going to be very familiar with, at least parts of it. But it is so full of imagery. And it has so much to teach us. I just don't want to leave too much on the table. And so I thought, let's just dive into the gospel and focus on that, okay? So again, John 21, 1 to 19, for those who like to read along with. And invite you to do that. So let's just dive in, shall we? On this third Sunday of Easter already. We're just moving through it. We're out of the octave. And now moving through the 50 days of the Easter season. So however it is, brothers and sisters, that you prepare yourself, that you ready yourself, that you open yourself to receive not only God's word, but God's spirit well. I invite you to do that at this time, okay? A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to him, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net over to the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from the shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, follow me. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, that's just a marvelous story, isn't it? Again, if for nothing else, it's just a beautiful story. But brothers and sisters, it is full of things for us today. Not just trivial knowledge that is good for us to know, although I think it's got that too. But I think it's good for us where we live today for this story to come to life, because we live, I won't say all of it, but we certainly live parts of it enough that we can find ourselves here. So let's break this open. What are we talking about? Now, let me say this. The last time I did this story, and I don't remember if it was a year ago. I know we hear this gospel every 3 years on this third Sunday of Easter. So I don't remember the last time we heard this gospel, but I don't think it was 3 years ago. We must have heard it some other time, maybe in Mark's, as we went through Mark. I'm not sure. But anyway, if memory serves, the title that I used was similar to the title I used for last week's gospel. It was The Reclamation of Peter. And last week, we did The Reclamation of Thomas. So it'd be very easy, just to kind of bookend these weeks and say, this one's going to be The Reclamation of Peter, because essentially, that's so much of what the story is about. But brothers and sisters, it's not only about the reclamation of Peter, although it is, it's about our own reclamation. In God reclaiming Peter, in inviting Peter to reclaim and remember himself, we find ourselves. We find our God reclaiming us and inviting us to reclaim ourselves for God, because that's what's going on here. All right. At that time, so okay, remember, last week, if you listen to last week's episode, and I know it's not downloaded yet, by the time you get this one, I don't know if there'll be another one already. I know, it's, this thing is going on. So, last week, we looked at Thomas and looked deeper and said, Thomas is really a good dude. And last week's gospel really was what we called the first conclusion. It was the conclusion of John's gospel, the end of chapter 20, and we heard it, where it said, these are not the only stories that have been written about Jesus, but all the libraries in the world couldn't contain him if we wrote him, which sounded like an ending of the gospel. And it was. And this is what's called an epilogue, okay, of chapter 21. Most theologians agree it was a later edition. Whether it was by the same author, the same community, I'll leave that up for smarter people to talk about. That makes it no less true, brothers and sisters, no less true. Okay, so at that time, so Jesus reveals himself again to the disciples. Sea of Tiberias, it's another name for the Sea of Galilee. I don't know why they call it all these different names. Lake Gennesaret, they're all the same, And so would we all be so lucky to, be called by, well, maybe not. Maybe we are called by different names and maybe we're not so lucky. Anyway, Jesus reveals himself this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James and John, and two other disciples are effectively back in Galilee after the ministry of Jesus. And a lot of theologians believe this. The fact that Peter says, I'm going fishing, is a way for him to say, I'm just returning to what I know. I'm returning to going back to the beginning, right? I don't know that it means he's giving up on his ministry or mission, but I think it means he's having some struggles, some doubts. He's going back home, needs to refind himself because he lost his grounding. He doesn't know what the next step is. And here he is. And so he's going to some place where he can breathe, where he feels himself, where he feels at home. And where is that? It's out on the lake. It's out on the Sea of Galilee. Because he and his brother Andrew and James and John have fished that since they grew up. And so he goes back to that beginning, to that place where he can at least hear the word of God, the voice of God, the Spirit of God move, and maybe invite him to that next place because he's uncertain. And so they go out. Okay, they all say they're going to come with. They go out in the boat for the night. And of course, they catch nothing. Why? Because they're doing this on their own. Brothers and sisters, to the extent that we follow our own agenda, our own thoughts, our own way of being, we are not going to find success in creating life. There is only one that is life giver, right? There is only one that truly gives life and that creates life around us and that builds in ways that last. And that is in an association and working alongside in participation with our God. When we do our own will, okay? When we are choosing our own path, we will come up empty, as the disciples did. So they do this all night. They catch nothing. When it was dawn, Jesus is standing on the shore. The disciples did not realize it was Jesus. You know, we don't know if that's because they're 100 yards offshore and they can't quite, their eyesight's not quite so great. Maybe it's a little dark yet in the dawn. They can't quite make him out. Or if Jesus has a different appearance. We're going to get to that later. But this mysterious person, Jesus, on the shore says, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" "No." "Cast the net over to the right side," you know, right, left. Correct. I mean, basically, he's just saying, then listen to me. Cast the net over to the right side, and you will find something. And so they do. And the net is filled with so many fish, they're unable to pull it in. All right. So that is all good stuff, right? Not that different. That could have been a gospel story, you know, 10 chapters earlier. Here's where it gets good, in my opinion. The disciple whom Jesus loves, again, this is John's tool that he uses throughout his own gospel. He doesn't name himself ever in the gospel. A lot of people think, oh, that just means John. It's the disciple whom Jesus loves. Why? Because love recognizes Christ. Love recognizes the presence before anyone else will. And so it is this disciple whom Jesus loves that recognizes and says to Peter, it is the Lord. And Peter, it says, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment for he was lightly clad. Let's read Bible speak here. It means Peter is naked. Peter feels naked in the presence of God. Why does Peter feel naked? Because Peter continues to be filled with shame. Why? Because he denied him Jesus three times. Peter, in denying Jesus three times, still carries the burden of sin. Which, what does that remind us of, right? Go back to Genesis. Go back to the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. Chapter 2, chapter 3, where they were created in the garden for relationship. And in chapter 3, when they both eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which they know they weren't supposed to, I mean, they were communing with God in this garden. They would go walking with him and talking with him. And when God, after they eat the fruit of the tree of good and evil, God comes through looking for them, and they hide from God. And because they realized they were naked, right? In their shame, in their sin, they realize who they are. They realize who God is. They are no longer in communion. And in my nakedness, I am separate and I hide. And that's exactly what Peter does. he realizes his nakedness before God. He realizes after the disciple whom Jesus loves says, it is the Lord. He says, he knows it's true. And he sees his nakedness and he hides. How does he hide? By jumping in the water. Peter, the disciple whom Jesus loved says, Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard this, he tucked in his garment for he was lightly clad and he jumps into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat. They were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with fish. When they climbed out on the shore, they saw the charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. That's really specific, isn't it? When's the last time we saw fish and bread? Oh, probably when Jesus fed the 5,000. Go back to chapter 6, right? Because he uses the five loaves and the two fish to feed the multitudes. When's the last time we heard about a charcoal fire? Check it out, brothers and sisters. There's only one other time you're going to hear about a charcoal fire in all of Scripture. Where was it? It was in the courtyard of, I don't think it was Pilate's. It was the when Jesus was before the Sanhedrin. And in the courtyard outside of there, there was a charcoal fire by which people were warming themselves. And Peter went up and warmed himself there. And that's where people looked at him and said, hey, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And Peter denies him and says, not I. I do not know the man. This is no accident, brothers and sisters. The same sin, the same place, the same location. God, through Jesus here, is not inviting Peter to hide from this. He's inviting Peter directly to it. Because only when we can come and acknowledge it and see it there can we own it. And only in owning it can we move beyond it through the forgiveness of our God and through our own forgiveness. That our God can take our sin and make it new. And not only make it new, he can make life come from it. He can feed us from it. Bread and fish, or whatever it is that he can say, you think that was cause for separation? Not only can I use that for cause for unification, of bringing us together, but I can use it for good in that you can now be somebody new who understands and reaches out to others. Jesus brings Peter to the charcoal fire where Peter can no longer hide or deny it. And, so brings him to the charcoal fire. Jesus says, bring some of the fish you caught. So Simon Peter alone goes over and drags the net ashore full of 153 fish. Again, an incredibly odd, specific number that is coming aboard here in the ship, or in the fish, in the net. All this net that they couldn't all lift onto the boat because it was too heavy. Peter himself goes and brings it forward. And the net, even though it had so many, wasn't torn. What does this mean? Again, Peter, this whole idea of Simon Peter is the one who claimed that Jesus was the Christ. Go back to Matthew, right? In Caesarea Philippi, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus gives to him the keys. He gives to him that leadership role. And this is Peter exerting that leadership role. Peter is the one that goes in and brings the net forward. Why 153 fish? Because I'm going to use the wrong word here. Not biologists, not scientists of the time. Whoever studies, different species, whatever that word is, and I should have looked it up before I did the podcast, those people at the time thought there were 153 different species, different types of fish. And so Peter goes forward, and this net contains all of them. And even though it was so large, there were so many, the net, which is the church, did not break. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time where it feels like the net is breaking, where it feels like the church isn't big enough for everybody. But this gospel reminds us that the net is not going to break. It cannot break. That it is strong enough. And Mother Church is large enough and big enough for all of us. Pope Francis, God rest his soul, and I hope we have prayed for him and continue to pray for him and continue to pray for the conclave that is upcoming next week. Brothers and sisters, Pope Francis used that term all the time, that we are big tent Catholics, that the church, the net, is big enough to house us all, and Peter is the symbol of that unity, and that seat is empty now, and we pray for that seat, the one, the man who is going to sit in that, the one who will bring the fish up. Jesus asks for the church to be brought to him, to be brought in a sense to our sin as well, to recognize it, to ask forgiveness, to move forward. The church is food for others. Bring me that food that I can prepare it to fill you and send you out to fill others and create that life. And here, okay, none of the disciples dared to ask them, who are you? Because they realized it was Lord. Put that in your pocket. I'm going to come back to that. I know. We've already been going 22 minutes. I'm coming back to it. Here's the last thing I'll say about the reclamation of Peter. Not only is Peter in shame, not only is he hiding, not only does Jesus bring him to the charcoal fire and say, I can make bread out of this. I can make good come out of this. He walks along the shore with him, right? And we know this story. He asks him three times, one for each of those times that Peter denied him, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Well, then feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. That sometimes, again, our God invites us to say, do you love me? Yes, it is love that is going to drive this bus. And there will be sin in your life and mine where we will hide from God. And that we are ashamed and we think we are separated from God, but only to the extent, brothers and sisters, that you and I attempt to hide. God brings us to that place of shame, not to shame us, but to say, I can make good come of it. I continue to love you. And through that good in our forgiveness, you can go out and demonstrate that same thing for others. You know, do you love me? That's really what Jesus wants to know. Not have you faltered, not have you fallen, not are you ashamed or have you hidden. God says, do you love me? Okay, good, good. I can work with that. Well, then feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, then feed my sheep, okay? Okay? Last thing I'll say, but this is where I'm going to get my title from, and I think this is really important for all of us. Is I want to go back to that line. They're all around the charcoal fish eating breakfast. And it has this weird line, and none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they realized it was the Lord. What an odd line. Because, brothers and sisters, they don't recognize him any longer physically. They recognized him through the signs. They recognized him through other means, not through our eyes. We have to look differently. We have to see differently. That's what this gospel invites us to. I think back to Mary Magdalene, John's gospel. And she's sitting outside the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. And someone whom she thinks is the gardener comes up, and she's talking. She's looking and talking to the gardener and says, where have you laid him? And it's not until Jesus says, Mary, that she says, Rabboni, and falls at his feet. It's through his voice, his knowing her name, I have called you by name, you are mine, that she knows it is the Lord. I think of Emmaus, right? That's Luke's gospel, when they're walking, you know, however many miles, what is it, 8 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus? And they walk that alongside this person, and they don't recognize him until the breaking of the bread later. And then they look at each other and say, were not our hearts burning within us? We knew it was Jesus. He was unpacking all this scripture. He was the stranger who came to us and opened our eyes, you know, but they didn't know until the breaking of the bread. Then they saw. And he vanished from their sight. And the same here. You know, well, I mean, there are other times they're making him eat fish, or they're touching him like last week in the hands and in the side, because they want to make sure he's not a ghost, an apparition, because things are different. And here, how do they recognize him? Through a night of fishing on their own, and they caught nothing, but all of a sudden there was abundance. And they recognized him in that abundance. Through a night of hard work out on there, and food awaited them that they didn't earn, but there was gift. They recognized him through forgiveness. They recognized him through the gift of taking away their shame. They recognized him through the invitation to love. Brothers and sisters, this gospel, what I've called the reclamation of Peter, is really our own reclamation. If you, like all of humanity, have tried to hide from God in your shame, this gospel is for you. Our gospel says, don't hide from that moment. Don't hide from that event. Don't hide from what's going on. In fact, come to it, and I can make good come of it. If our God can make the worst event in the history of the world, the crucifixion, the absolute best event in the resurrection, our God can take our sin and make something new from it. And he invites us to do that. All he does is look at you and I right now, and he says, do you love me? How do we answer? Let's pray. And in the midst of this prayer, I just invite us to pray not only for Pope Francis. I invite us to pray for the cardinals that will be gathering next week. And I invite the discernment, the Holy Spirit, to be present and them open to the Spirit. And I invite us to pray for the one who will be selected, that this person's heart would be molded and shaped into the heart of our God. And so we begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The third glorious mystery, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, our God is present today. Do we have the eyes, the ears, the heart to see him in our midst? May your week be filled with every good blessing. Be well, and God's peace.